This is KTOO's Juno Afternoon, and I'm your host, Mandy Nguyen. KTOO would like to acknowledge the Clanadi, whose main crests are the raven and dog salmon, and the Wushkitan, with the shark, wolf, and eagle as their main crests of the Akquan. We are on their ancestral homeland. Our broadcast studios are built on fill that was once tideland and part of what is called the Indian Village. We recognize those families who have never relinquished their property rights and hunting and fishing rights, nor their ownership and stewardship of their land and waterways. The families of the Juneau Indian Village, like their ancestors, cherish and depend upon their immediate connection to their waterfront and forests. KTOO is working to lift up Tlingit voices through the sharing of stories like these and the broadcast of the Tlingit language. Please excuse us for our mistakes and gunat chish for your patience as we learn.
We can pass all kinds of legislation that limits the use of force for police. We can limit all kinds of things in how judicial systems are applied and how people are sentenced. We can do these things and they're meaningful. But what really needs to happen is an education of people on how to change thought. And that's a much slower and much more painful process.
In 2018, Verid Mares and partners opened the Writer's Block Bookstore and Cafe in the Anchorage Spinard neighborhood. It quickly became a vital gathering space for writers and artists. I'm Katie Bosler, and also since 2018, I've hosted this Active Voice podcast, 49 Writers Forum for exploration and discussion with writers and artists in these challenging and changing times. At this moment, we've reached a last straw in the struggle for justice for Black people in this country. Add to that mass inequality magnified by the COVID-19 pandemic. What's an artist, writer, or activist to do?
This is KTOO's Juno Afternoon, and I'm your host, Mandy Nguyen. And that was the beginning to the newest episode of the Active Voice podcast. Active Voice host and 49 Writers board member Katie Bosler joins us on the show today to talk about a couple of the most recent episodes. Thank you for coming onto the show, Katie.
Well, it's great to be here, Mandy. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Oh my gosh, and congratulations on your first Juno Afternoon. Your first
yes. Afternoon. Yeah.
Exciting.
Thank gosh, you.
I hosted my first Juno Afternoon about 25 years ago.
Cool. Yeah, I'm feeling it, but I'm happy to be talking to you. I listened to both of the podcast episodes and really enjoyed it.
Great. Great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, this last one, I'm really excited about the one you just kind of previewed there with Verid Mares. We actually got our MFAs together in creative nonfiction from University of Alaska Anchorage a few years ago. And she's a co-manager and owner of this Writer's Block bookstore in Anchorage, which is a really cool place if you ever get a chance to check it out. And she also has a really interesting personal history that she refers to at the beginning. And that is also covered in this podcast, where when she was a freshman in high school, she was in Denton, Texas. And she was a Jewish girl, Hispanic, and she was went to live with her dad and her stepmom. And she was in a band. And the band wanted, the band leader had them march in the formation of a cross and wanted them to play hymns. And she thought that was kind of a violation of religious freedom. So turns out her father is a famous writer and also was on the ACLU board. He took it all the way to the Supreme Court, which won, and it was a catalyst case. But what she's also saying in that first soundbite is still things haven't changed, even if you can bring something to the Supreme Court. But we're in this moment now where after what happened with George Floyd, as we well know, and all the protests that are happening around the country, that people of all backgrounds and races are finally getting it. And that this is the time to elevate the voices of people whose voices haven't been elevated or have been marginalized over the decades, if not the centuries. And so we talk a lot about that in this podcast. And Verid's very articulate on the subject. She also gives us sort of a playlist, a reading list in this podcast, you know, where books you can order from her store or Hearthside Books, like White Fragility or anti-racism or books by Octavia Butler she talks about. So we had a really, I think, rich discussion, and I'm pretty excited about this latest podcast.
Yeah, and I remember her speaking about, and kind of to what you were saying, speaking about how it's not just about shifts to political systems, but that a cultural shift needs to occur.
Yes.
And I really liked the question that kind of begins the podcast is, what's a writer or artist or activist to do during this time? Because underneath that question, I kind of hear the question of, what's the responsibility of a writer or artist or activist or yes. anybody during this time?
Yeah. And also to give previously marginalized voices the fore. And she points out very clearly, this is not the time for people like me to say, look at me, aren't I cool? I'm elevating marginalized voices. No, that's not what you're supposed to do. And I want to thank Juno Afternoon and K2 because and Scott Burton and Shelley and Cheryl, who really have gone to, I think it's very, very present that this awareness in this programming on Juno Afternoon that I've noticed, and I think a lot of people have noticed it over the last, in recent months, if not the last couple of years. So that's very exciting.
Right. And you had also interviewed an environmental historian in the previous episode. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. Yeah. Bathsheba DeMuth, she's a fascinating woman. She is a professor at Brown University. And she wrote a book called Floating Coast. It's an environmental history of the Bering Strait. So she has spent a lot of time in that part of Alaska and as well as Russia. And her thesis is when everything's about human beings and their interests and their moneyed interests, it can really hurt the environment. And I did a writing workshop with her in February, right before pretty much the pandemic hit, and said I was going to do a podcast with her. Well, it turns out it didn't work out for me to do the podcast with her in person in Anchorage. Then the pandemic hits. And then I learned, like we're all learning, about online interviewing, that you could do a podcast with anybody anywhere, right? So I interviewed her from her home in Rhode Island for this podcast. And what she's talking about, one of the things we talked about was the history of pandemics and looking back to the flu of 1918 and the diseases that European explorers brought to indigenous peoples in Alaska and North America, which actually devastated populations because the people who brought some of these viruses and contagious diseases were already immune to them, but not the people that they encountered. And so we also talked about, you know, my kind of naive question was, well, is this what we're all experiencing now with, because coronavirus is new? And she said, well, not necessarily. And we do have a soundbite from Bathsheba's podcast that you can play to illustrate this a little bit better.
So people arriving from Europe could endure these diseases in a way that people in the Americas couldn't. So you had sort of these two different immunological profiles between two different groups of people. And right now, the coronavirus has basically the same immunological profile for everyone. It affects people differently based on underlying conditions, and those conditions can track to class and race in various ways. But it's not that one group of people is just immune from the beginning. So I think that's very different. This virus is not happening in a context of colonization. So if you think about it just in very kind of non-abstract terms, I'm trying very hard to not become infected, as is my spouse. We don't go to the grocery store unless it's absolutely necessary. And these aren't super easy things to do, as we're all learning, right? It's very hard to restrict your movements and try to keep from becoming infected. But I am not doing that while somebody is trying to take my house or someone isn't trying to force me into a labor regime that I don't want to participate in or lay me into a culture that I don't belong to, often with force. And those are the kind of political contexts in which the epidemic diseases that arrive in the Americas operated. So, of course, that compounds all of that inequity between groups of people in terms of their capacity to become infected in the beginning, and makes it substantially worse.
It levels the playing field in one way, in that anybody can give it to anybody. But then at the same time, you still have the same situation where you have disenfranchised peoples who are much more vulnerable to the worst effects of it.
Yes, she said. and then she goes on to explain a little bit more about that situation. So I found it really interesting to talk to environmental historian. She also has done some writing about Chernobyl, and we talked about the denial in that case. And that's one thing I also have been coming, I think, personally aware of. It's denial is the first stage of grief. And I think what's happening to large segments of humanity, myself included, is we want to deny that what happened to Indigenous peoples or Black peoples, because sometimes it's too hard to face. People in Chernobyl denied that happened, though that was one of the worst environmental disasters of the century, which killed a lot of people in Russia. So, and that was in 1986, which wasn't that long ago, really. So something that's been really interesting with this podcast is, we started it to address these times in quotes a couple of years ago. And now it seems like a lot of the things that we've touched on, with authors from Hank Lenfer of Gustavus to a New Yorker writer, Susan Orlin, to Pam Houston, who's a pretty well-known author from Colorado, to Kim Heacox, Ernestine Hayes, who asks, what will we do with our histories? She was asking us that question a few years ago. It's all coming to fruition now. All of these discussions are just, it's the zeitgeist right now. And it's very exciting, because I think we are at a threshold and we can join together to live together and thrive together, as opposed to the more negative aspects that we've been dealing with for quite a while, long time now as human beings.
Absolutely. And when listening to these podcasts, a really strong theme that came up was the theme of history, and specifically reckoning with history and the how it seems to come up anyway. Listening to Bathsheba, mm-hmm. It was very, really interesting to hear a historian try to make sense of the present. That's not something we usually right. kind of think about, but this is a moment in time. This is a historical event that needs to be made sense of in light with the past as well, because as you're saying, it comes from the past.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, to reckon with and reconcile, if that's at all possible, the past, we have to deal with our history, because intergenerational PTSD is part of it, right? That it doesn't go away. And the next generations are very affected. What's also exciting is we can, even though there's a pandemic and we can't meet in person, we have this forum, this Zoom forum with June Afternoon to talk about it. And we have podcasts galore, and I know people have a lot of choices what to listen to, but if you want to find this podcast, you could go to 49writers.org. It's part of 49 Writers, which is a networking and support organization, nonprofit for Alaskan writers, at 49writers.org/active-voice. And you can also find it where you find your podcast, Spotify, Apple, all that.
Another thing that I thought was really interesting was in the most recent interview you did, is how she kind of touches upon how this reckoning is also something that Alaska very much needs to do.
Yes.
And it, what you were just saying earlier about kind of denial as the first stage of grief, mm-hmm. It feels like, so for me, I'm a relatively new resident of Alaska, mm-hmm. but it feels like a place that is really fraught with history, and mm-hmm. it feels like a place mm-hmm. that is still trying to figure itself out. I mean, of course, everywhere is always trying to reckon with history, but
That's a really good point, because really, you know, Alaska is a kid, right? We've only been a state for what, since 1959, which is not that long ago. Very much so. This is kind of a regular podcast. I just do it when I can, because I have a day job. Definitely, I think, part of understanding the past to deal with our present is forums like this Active Voice Writers Respond podcast. And if there's any writers listening who are interested in being guests, you know where to find me, if you're in Juneau anyway.
And what do you hope for listeners to take away from these podcast episodes?
Well, I hope for them to, I think when you're a journalist or a storyteller, you just have this endless curiosity, and the way you satisfy it sometimes is through forums like this. So I hope that in listening to it, people will learn something new, and we'll feel like it's okay to not know the answer. And sometimes I might sound a little naive or ask kind of a dumb question, but as Varad says in the latest podcast, it's okay to ask dumb questions. That's how we learn. That's how we learn and better understand each other. And in understanding each other, we can live more peacefully together.
And if I can ask, because this is something I'm curious about, is how have these conversations and these type of conversations kind of guided or aided your own reckoning work, or whatever you want to call it, whether that's on an individual or communal or societal
very
level?
Much so. Yeah. Very much so. I feel like we've all been on a pretty steep learning curve the last few years. And this has helped me a lot. You know, I think sometimes when you're a creative person or an artist or storyteller, you got to either write about it or talk about it or to figure it out sometimes. And so talking to these brilliant artists and writers who I have so much respect for, some of them haven't mentioned, Vivian Faith Prescott from Wrangell, amazing. Nancy Lord, another former writer laureate. I've just learned so much. And I guess you'd say, the old student of life thing, right?
Of course. And is there anything else you'd like to share with anybody listening?
Well, I just want to remind people that if you are interested in 49 Writers, that's an organization that's open to anybody, reader or writer. You don't have to be a professional writer by any means. You can go to 49writers.org to learn more about that and how to join 49 Writers. That address, 49writers.org/active-voice, is where you can find our Active Voice page. And of course, you can also subscribe or listen to these on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Stitcher. And I think that's pretty much all I have. I guess I want to wish everybody a happy 4th of July weekend. It's a different time and a time to listen to a podcast with your dog. If you're feeling a little bit skittish about going outdoors at certain points this weekend, which I know I am.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you for being a wonderful first guest on my first Juno Afternoon show.
You're making me cry. I'm so thrilled for you, Mandy, and you are doing a wonderful job. So I wish you all the best with the rest of this show and many more shows to come.
Thank you, Katie.